Joshua chapter 21.
We have been going through the book of Joshua. We started away in Joshua chapter 1, and we saw the exchange of power there, where Moses and Joshua took the place of Moses as the leader of the children of Israel. We saw them cross the Jordan. We saw them go into Jericho. We saw the miracles at Jordan. We saw them go into Jericho. We saw the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. We saw their pride, and we saw their self-assurance and their self-belief that they could take on Ai, and they tried and they failed. They realized that there was sin at the camp. They went back to the Lord and communed with the Lord, and they took care of the problem and went up against Ai again, and they got the victory over Ai. We read as the sun stood still and the moon stood still, as Joshua and the Israelites fought, and we saw God with them. The times that they communed with God, God was with them. The time that they didn't commune with God, God was not with them. We saw them make a mistake and join in league with neighbors because they'd never went to the Lord. And so we saw the victories, we saw some of the defeats and so forth. Now we're getting to the end of Joshua's life, and they have gotten the victory. They have occupied Canaan, and they have divided the lots and divided their land amongst the tribe of the children of Israel. And as we're getting down to the last couple chapters, and this passage here is just a great one. It's not a Thanksgiving message, but you can certainly tie it to Thanksgiving when you realize that all that the Lord does for you and all that he does for us. And we ought to be a thankful people, people of gratitude. And of course, being the week of Thanksgiving, and we thought it'd be a good song to have, to sing a song that would tell us how much we really have been blessed and how good God really has been to us and to this church. So we're going to pray, and we're going to have a special for you this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these that are here. And Lord, it is Thanksgiving week, and the time that we give thanksgiving to you for all that you've done for us and how you provide and the many blessings. Lord, you've been so good to us. Yes, it's been a difficult year on many fronts, and but Lord, you have been good to us, and you have been with us, and you've cared for us through sickness, through financial struggles, through Lord, just through the many many trying times that we have faced, and you certainly have been there for us. And this morning, you're not any different. You're there for us, and Lord, we love you. I thank you for this church. Thank you for our people, and Lord, just help us to continue and stay in the faith. And Lord, I just pray that bless this morning, bless the special, and then the message. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter 21. Look at verse number 43. Joshua 21, verse 43. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and they dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." Notice verse 35, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." This seemed like a pretty good deal here. After all was said and done, the Lord took care of the children of Israel. The Lord gave unto Israel several things, and I'd like just to point them out to you real quick. Number one, the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he promised them. Look at verse 43. "And the Lord gave unto Israel," notice, "all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein." All the land that he had, that he promised them, all the land that he swore that he would give them. The land is pretty good. We're 3,300 years later, and land is still pretty important. There's only so much of it. They stopped making it for now. So not only did he give to them, they possessed it. That means they occupied it. They moved in. They built houses and farms, and they dwelt therein. They lived there. But not only the land. Number two, notice the Lord gave them rest. round about. And verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest. Rest is a wonderful thing. We have been looking for rest and seeking rest, and we want rest. Rest means that they were able to settle down. There was quietness throughout the land. They were left alone, and they had rest from all sides. They had rest within themselves. They had rest from the enemy, and the Bible says they had rest from round about. So the Lord gave Israel all the land that he promised. He gave them rest round about. Then notice, number three, he gave them rest specifically from their enemies. Verse 44 says, and Lord gave them rest round about. Notice, according to all that they swore unto their fathers. Notice, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand, and not one man left standing, not one man of their enemies. They weren't against Israel. And those that were with Israel that had been enemies before, now they were under tribute, they were under obligation and so forth. So they had no enemies, and the Lord delivered them, delivered all their enemies into their hand. And Israel conquered all their enemies. The Lord gave them into the hand. Now keep your finger there just so that you can read it. Turn to Joshua 1. Stay where you're at, but turn to Joshua 1. Just flip a few pages. And you see there, in verse number 5, notice the promise that that God had given him. Notice what he says in verse 5. There shall not any man, Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And notice he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of land, which swear unto their fathers to give them. And so we see there that the promise that God had made Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, guess what? All of a sudden, God had carried it through. And all of a sudden, here we're at the end of Joshua, and we see that that has taken place. Now here's the last thing, verse number 4, notice what it says here. Here's the great thing. In verse 45, the Bible says this, notice, there failed not aught any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Notice, all came to pass. The Bible says that there failed not. There was not any good thing that the Lord had spoken or that the Lord had promised unto the house of Israel. There wasn't not one thing that he failed on. There wasn't one thing that he didn't keep his promise on. And the Bible says all came to pass. And that means that everything that the Lord had promised them, promised Israel, came to be. God kept every promise. God kept every word that he had spoken. God took care of all that he had said that he would. And that's a wonderful thing. God had promised the seed of Abraham the land of Canaan for possession. And now they possessed it. Now they dwelt therein. And guess what? All had come to pass. Everything came to pass. Now let me say this. Israel had to do their part. Who was it that gave Israel the land? It was God. But who had to fight for it? The children of Israel. Who had to be obedient to God? The children of Israel. Who had to suffer and who had to sacrifice and who had to shed their blood? The children of Israel. And Israel had to do their part, but the Lord certainly kept his end of the deal. It all came to pass. You know, every good thing which the Lord had spoken of the house of Israel failed not, all came to pass. Even after the occupation, even after that they were there, the land was theirs as long as they were obedient to the Lord, as long as they followed him and obeyed him. Now here's a wonderful thing, and here's the application of the message. I don't know if you have noticed, but I certainly have noticed that, that this Bible, and the Bible that you hold in your hand, is full of God's promises. And here's the thing, as it was in the days of Joshua, so it will be in our days and in the days of our children and forevermore. There will not fail any good thing which the Lord has spoken. All will come to pass. And boy, that's a great thing. All his promises, all that was spoken, all that was written in this Bible, in this book, all of it shall come to pass. Everything that God has spoken or written will come to pass. Matthew 5:18. Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. The Bible says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Guess what? Everything that is written in his book is going to come to be. It's going to pass. And God's going to keep his promise. God's going to keep his word. And God's going to keep everything that he has sworn to us and that he said that he would give us. All will be fulfilled. Titus 1:2, Titus writing about the hope of eternal life. He said this, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Guess what? If God promised us, guess what? He's going to keep his word. That's a wonderful thing. God cannot lie. God has promised. God cannot lie. So because he cannot lie, guess what? It must come to be. And he said, in hope of eternal life. And of course, the word hope there meaning expectation, in anticipation, in confidence of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Guess what? We can count on it because it will come to pass. Why? Because there shall not fail. There shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people, all will come to pass. And you can take the Bible and open it to every promise, and you can count on those promises taking place. You can take the Bible and open it to every prophecy in the past, and you can verify that those prophecies were fulfilled. And you can look at the prophecies for the future, and you can rest assured that those prophecies will take place, and you can count on them and for all the rest of them to take place in here. Why? Because God promised it, and guess what? It'll come to pass. That means several things. That means in Matthew 6:33, where the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You can rest assured that guess what? It'll come to pass. Now you've got to do your part, and you've got to seek God first, and you've got to seek his righteousness. But the Bible says that if you do that, God has promised that all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, Joshua and the children of Israel did their part. They had to obey. They had to follow. They had to fight. They had to sacrifice. But God did his part, and you do your part, and God will do his part. All things shall be added unto you. Why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. And I thought of Jeremiah 33:3. The Bible says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." And you know what? You've got to do your part, and you've got to call on God, and you call on him, and you beg him, and you ask him. Guess what? He'll answer you. And he'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to do the math. You give it to God, and you go to him, and you ask him, and hey, he promised to do it. You ask him, you call unto him, and he's promised that he'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. He promised that he's going to carry it out. Let God figure it out. He'll show you why. Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. See, we got to do our part. Man, when we seek God, if you seek God and first the kingdom of God and you seek his righteousness, the Bible says all these things will be added unto you. When you call on him and the Bible says it'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, we've got to call on him. We've got to do our part, and he'll do his part. I thought of Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. I'll tell you what, go ahead and turn there. We've got a few minutes. Matthew 11:28. We live in a day and age that, boy, it's just a busy world, and people work, and some have jobs, some have two jobs, some the husband and the wife work, and sometimes the kids, it's so busy, and we get labored down and we get weary. Look at Matthew 11:28. Notice that the Bible says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." You ever been there? "And I will give you," that's right, amen, "and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you know, Jesus said, hey, when you're tired and when you're weary, when you've labored and you're heavy laden, you're burdened, he said, you can come to me, and guess what? I'm going to give you rest. And listen, God said, he promises, he spoke it, he written down in the Bible, it's his word, he's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. Don't try to figure out how it works. How does that work? How can me getting up early Sunday morning to come to Sunday school and then to come to church, and how in the world is he going to give me rest? How can I come back Sunday night when I've got to work Monday morning? How is he going to give me rest Wednesday, middle of the week, and I've been working all week and working all day? How is he going to give me rest? Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out what he must do. Just do your part, and guess what? He'll do his part. Your part is come unto him, and you go to God, and you take him at his word. And the Bible says that ye that labor and are heavy laden, guess what, will find rest. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. He gave rest to Joshua and to the children of Israel, didn't he? And guess what? He'll give rest to you and I. Why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. I thought in the book of Hebrews, how the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and you can take that to the bank. He that cannot lie, he that had made that promise, guess what? It will come to pass, and you can rest assured that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now we may feel alone sometimes, and we may feel lonely sometimes, and we may feel abandoned sometimes, and we may feel orphaned sometimes, but he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. Psalm 37 verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Hey, the promises that God has made, if he's made that promises, guess what? He's going to keep it. He's going to follow it. He's going to obey it, and he's going to stick to it. We've got to do our part. We delight in the Lord, and we commit our way to him and trust also in him. And the Bible says that he shall bring it to pass. It will come to pass. Why? Because God has spoken it. The Lord has spoken it. He had written it down. Guess what? He's got to obey it. He cannot lie. And as he promised, it will come to be. I thought of Psalm 37, verse 23. Y'all tell you what, go ahead and turn there. Psalm 37, verse 23. Notice what the Bible says here. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by him. If you are a good man and you're walking in the Lord and you're trying to follow his steps and you're trying to be obedient, and guess what? The Bible says that your steps are ordered of the Lord, and God delights in your way. God delights in the path that you're taking. By the way, you're delighting in the path that you're taking. Why? Because it's in the Lord and you're following him and you're obeying him. And notice what the Bible says, though he fall, though he should stumble and fall, though he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, that's a promise that God's going to be there for you, that God's going to take care of you. Hey, if he promised, it's going to be. And the same way that he promised to the children of Israel, the same way that he promised to Abraham, and he's promised to us. Look at verse 25. Notice what the psalmist says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'll tell you what, you don't want to prove that, and neither do I want to prove that. But if we ever get to the point where it gets that bad and that desperate, we can rest assured that God is going to take care of us. Notice he says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You stick with God and you follow God and you follow the Lord and you stay with him. And guess what? God's going to honor this verse, and God's going to honor what he has promised, what he has told us, that guess what? We won't be forsaken and our seed won't be begging bread. I thought about Proverbs chapter 3. In verse number 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, sometimes it's hard to trust in the Lord. Sometimes it's hard. We go through things, and we go through difficulties, and we go through trials and hardships and struggles. We go through health issues. We go through sickness. We go through loss of job and loss of income, or we go through the different hardships in life, and it's kind of hard to trust in the Lord, and it's certainly kind of hard to trust the Lord with all thine heart. But the Bible says you do that. You trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he says, don't lean unto thine own understanding. Don't try to explain it. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to decide for it. You continue to follow God. You continue to trust in the Lord. You continue to give him all your heart, and don't lean unto your own understanding. And the Bible says, in all thy ways you acknowledge him, and guess what? He shall direct thy path. We have got to rely, and we have got to believe that God will take care of us. We have got to rely, and we have got to believe that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Now, if you're in the will of God, and you're trying to do right, and you're trying to do, and you walk with God, and you read your Bible, and you pray, and you come to church, and you're in God's will, and you're trying to do, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and you trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean into your own understanding. The Bible says if you acknowledge him in all your ways, guess what? He's going to direct your path. You know, I'd rather go on his path than on my path. You know what? You don't know where his path leads, but it's wise for you to follow his path. And for the record, you don't know where your path leads. Now, you may think you know where your path leads, and you may think you know that you're smart and that you're intelligent. You may think all that, but the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death and destruction. And you trust him, and you depend on him, and you acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Why? Why? because he promised that he would, and because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people, all will come to pass. 1 John 1, verse 9, the Bible says that we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great verse. That means when we fail God and we have utterly failed him, and we have failed maybe the church, or we have failed maybe our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have failed our family. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's got to do it. A preacher, well, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. A preacher, I've done this and I've done that, and I've killed someone or committed adultery or done drugs or whatever it is. Jesus said he'll forgive you. And if he said it, guess what? He's got to obey. He's got to follow it. He's got to concede to it. And why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. I thought about this, probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Go ahead and turn to John 14. John 14, one of my greatest. I think, of course, I love many passages in the Bible, but I certainly love this one. Look at verse number 1, John 14, look at verse number 1. Jesus talking to his disciples just before the betrayal, just before the arrest, just before the crucifixion. He brought his disciples together and he says, disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Wow, what a great verse, what a great line. Let not your heart be troubled. Preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. Let not your heart be troubled. And don't worry about it, don't fret it. Why? Let me tell you why. Because if you believe in God, believe also in me, believe also in Jesus. Notice what he says. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Wow, Jesus said, you know what? You don't need your heart to be troubled if you believe in God, and you know, you can also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm preparing a place for you. I've got a place for you. I've got a mansion for you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to prepare it, and I'm going to make it just for you. Verse 3, notice what he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, if I'm taking the time and taking the effort and taking the energy to prepare a place for you, you know what? I'm going to come back for you and receive you unto myself so that we can be together one day. And you know what? You never, and I said this before, but you never go back for something that is not worth anything to you. If you are walking down the street and you drop a penny and you look down and you can't find it, you're not going to take 10 minutes to look for that penny. But if you're walking down the street and you lose a $20 bill, you'll spend an hour looking for that $20 bill. You with me? Because it's worth something to you. Well, Jesus said, you know what? You are worth so much to me, disciples, that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, you know what? I'm going to come again. I'm going to come back here and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, that we can be together again. That's a wonderful passage. Hey, everything that God has promised, everything that God has said, everything that God has spoken, everything that God has written in the Bible, guess what? Has got to come to pass. He cannot lie. If he promises, guess what? He's going to stick to his promise. I thought about this. I thought about Romans 8:28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose. And it's hard to realize that everything that goes, that takes place in our life, you know, I was talking to the men and I'm trying to explain, I said, listen, it's just hard times, it's difficult times, I understand, I'm okay with it. Everything, you know, all things work together for good, and God has a purpose for this, and God is working this for good. I thought of Joseph, you know, when his brothers sold him and beat him up and put him in a pit and then sold him to the Egyptians and so forth, and as a slave, you know, they meant it for evil, but Joseph was able to stand at the end and say, you know what, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And why? Because all things works together for good. And I thought, I don't fret it. I hate it, but I don't fret it. And, you know, sometimes you don't like what you're going through. Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's painful. But guess what? Don't fret it. All things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? And then if you love God and you're called according to his purpose, guess what? He's got a purpose for you. He's got things that he wants you to go through. And yes, we may struggle. And yes, we may have to fight and kick and scratch. And yes, we may be in pain and we may struggle. But guess what? It's all working for good. For good to them that love God. And so, you know, so we just accept it. You just take it. And, you know, some of you have health issues and you struggle. Some of you have a sickness, and some of you have financial difficulties right now and struggling right now. And some of you have problems, child-rearing problems or marriage problems, whatever it may be. You hang in there and you stay with it. Why? Because all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to this purpose. Did God say that or not? You know, if God said it, then guess what? He's going to stick to his promise. He cannot lie, and he's going to make it come to pass just like he did for the children of Israel. It may hurt. It may be painful, and we may hate it, and you may not like it. And, you know, I don't like being sick, and I don't like suffering, and I don't like this and that. You know, I like ice cream. I like ribeye steak. I like all these things. But guess what? We can't eat all that thing all the time. We die, and though it'd be fun dying. But anyway, but no, you've got to take the good with the bad, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God said it, guess what? It will come to pass. We can't explain it sometimes. We can't understand it sometimes. We may not believe it sometimes. How can this be? How can this happen? How can I be in this situation? We may not see it right away. But all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And guess what? It will come to pass. Why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. Now you're going to have to do your part. And I'm done, but you're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to come to him and come to Jesus. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to come together. We're going to have to come together as a church and as a family. You're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to sacrifice. All of that was what Joshua and the children of Israel did. And guess what? The Lord gave them the promised land. And not only did he give them the promised land, he gave them rest. And not only did he give them rest, he gave them specific rest from their enemies. From their enemies. He gave them all that he had promised to give them. He gave them all. And guess what? If we do likewise, the Lord will give us all that he has promised us. Why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. You can take any promise in this Bible. Any promise, any conditional promise. And guess what? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. By my Father's house and many mansions were not so. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Every promise that you can find in this Bible, guess what? It'll come to pass. You got to do your part, and God will do his part. I'll close with this. The Bible says that nothing shall fail to be that God has spoken to us or given us in his word. That means that in due season, all his promises will be accomplished. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. All his promises. That means that in due season, all his promises will be accomplished. All his promises will come to be. Then will we be able to acknowledge that the Lord has not only kept his promises, but many times exceeded their largest expectations. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things. And not only great and mighty things, but great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God will exceed your expectations. You with me? But we've got to do our part, and God will certainly do his part. You know, we may appear... You know, we look at our lives now, and I thought of this. We may appear as survivors now. But a while later, we'll look back, and we'll see ourselves as conquerors. Because the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We may feel that we're losing, and there's no rest for the weary. But one day, we'll look back and realize that God has given us rest. One day we'll feel that we're losing and that we're falling behind, and one day we'll realize that guess what, that we're on the winning side. We may struggle now and think, boy, there's no rest for the weary, but one day we'll look back and realize that God has given us rest. We think that we know all that heaven's going to bring, but one day we'll find out that we didn't even begin to scratch the surface of all that God has for us. Why? Because there shall fail not any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto his people. All will come to pass. So not right now, when you come to Thanksgiving, you may, Thanksgiving Day, don't look at Thanksgiving as what you're facing now and what you're going through now and the struggles that you're facing now. No, you look toward the past, to the back. You look to the past and realize all that God has done for you and realize how he has kept every promise that he has given you. And you look back to the past. You may not be able to see it right now because God hasn't answered his promise right now today. But you're able to look to the past and see all the time that God has come through in the past. And you be thankful for those. Preacher, what about now? I'm without a job, or I'm struggling here. I've got health issues. My family's struggling, my marriage, my children. What about now? How can I be thankful for that? You wait till next year. And you'll be able to look back and be thankful for all that God brought you through in 2011. The same way that you're able to look back and realize all that God's brought you through in 2010, in 2009, in 2008, in 2007, in 2006, in 2005, in 2004, in 2003, in 2002, in 2001, in 2000, remember the Y2K? And then and you can look back and realize how good God's been to you in 1999, in 1998, and in 1997, in 1996, in 1990, do you get it? I can go further back if you want. Some of you weren't even born back then. I can go back for Brother Sidney's case to the early 1900s and 1800s. Every promise that God has made, guess what God will fulfill? Every promise that God has made, God will see to it that it happened. And how do you know that? Because God cannot lie. He must keep his word. And we see the examples in the Bible, and specifically in the book of Joshua. The Bible says that the Lord gave unto Israel and unto Joshua all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and they dwelt therein. Not only that, he gave them rest round about. Not only that, he gave them their enemies. All their enemies were delivered into their hands. And not only that, the Bible says that there failed not any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. And you know what? So it'll be for you and I. We may not see it right now. We may be, right now in our life, we may be at the point where Joshua and the children of Israel faced Ai and got beaten and had to run with their tail between their legs. Maybe that's us right now. But we're going to be able to look back and see how God gave us a victory. And he will. He'll give us the victory. He'll give this church a victory. He'll give you the victory. But we've got to do our part. And for certain, he'll do his part. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Lord, help us to realize that everything that you have promised, everything that you have given us in your word, the Bible says that it will come to pass. And Lord, you cannot lie. It will take place. Every prophecy, every promise, everything that you have put in your Bible for us, if we do our part, Lord, the Bible says you'll take care of it. You'll do your part. And that's exciting because we're able to look back right now and see all that you've done for us. So many times that you've blessed, so many times that you've answered prayer, the many times that you've given and above and beyond the call and above and beyond our request. And Lord, that's who you are. You're a great God. And Lord, you're our God and we're your people. Bless now these folks this morning. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, may they come to saving knowledge of Christ. Help us to realize that we must depend wholly, completely on you. And in so doing, Lord, you'll save us and you'll forgive our sins and you'll spare us from a devil's hell and you give us life in heaven, eternal life in heaven. So, Lord, bless this morning. Work an invitation now.